Learning by example is something we all do. And today, Dr. Don Wilton's message is all about the model example. It's great to welcome you into this time of studying God's Word, the encouraging Word, the Bible itself. Dr. Wilton takes us to Philippians chapter 2 in just a moment, but as we begin the broadcast, he wants me to remind you we're here for you, connecting a number of ways to pray with you and connect you with powerful resources like loneliness, how to be alone but not lonely. Today's the last day to grab that. It's a powerful resource, and you'll find it on our website at tewonline.org. I know it's been a comfort to me and some special friends in my family I've given it to. Loneliness, how to be alone but not lonely. You'll find it on our website at tewonline.org. But now, let's head to Philippians chapter 2 with Dr. Don Wilton on this edition of The Encouraging Word. The Encouraging
Word. You know, I often think about men and women in uniform. I said to myself the other day, what is it about their tremendous example that we love? I don't mind telling you folks, when we have times when we honor our men and women in uniform and those who have laid their lives down, it is an emotional time for me. Think about the soldier for a minute. Have you ever tried to put it down on paper? What is it that they do that makes them so special to us? Well, first of all, they volunteer their services in the United States. Now, that may not be true elsewhere, but that's what happens in my country. Our men and women volunteer their services. Now, folks, can I just say this? When I served, I didn't volunteer. I know what it's like to be conscripted. I did not volunteer. I know the difference. Your pastor knows the difference. Not in this country. We honor them. They volunteer their service. I was forced to go. I had no option. If I did not do it, I would have gone to jail for 4 years. None of you have ever lived under a system like that, have you? They volunteer their services. Number two, they lay aside their personal privileges, men and women in uniform. I mean, can I just say this lovingly with due respect to all those who are in uniform? You could be doing a lot of other things, but you willingly lay aside your other privileges, a lot of the freedoms that you have. Number three, they put on a shared uniform. I love the uniform of our men and women, don't you? But folks, with all the magnificence of the military uniform, it's the uniform of a slave, a real servant. When you put on that uniform, you share servanthood. That's what happens to you. Number four, they become like all the others. When you put on that uniform, when you walk out of Civvy Street and you put on that uniform, you become like all the others. You're just a number. It's now 35 years since I served in Africa. I still remember my number. If there's anything I knew was my number, because that's all I was a number. And my blood type, because all I had around my neck was this uniform and dog tags. I'm just a number. It's like you just become like all the others. Number five, they assume a common identity. It goes more than just becoming like all the others. There's a common identity when you're in the service. There's a kind of a brotherhood that's hard to describe. Number six, they humble themselves. When a person signs up for the military, over the generations in America, it's an act of great humility. You and I look at it and we say, wow, boy, that's a real man. Yes, a real woman. We understand that. But folks, it is an act of great humility. humility. To serve in uniform. If you've never been there, because it means that you answer to everybody. And you have all these people with heavy shoulders and stripes on their shoulders, and they all have authority over you. It seems like the whole world's got authority. You've got to humble yourself. When you go into the military, the line is drawn. Number seven, they lay down their lives. That's why we have a time like this. They willingly lay down their lives. Folks, it's one of the hardest things to come to grips with. These brave men and women over the generations in our country who have died on the battlefield, they willingly laid down their lives. Just try and get a hold of that. It's like they said, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to give my life. I'm going to sacrifice my life. I'm going to go and serve, even though it may mean my own death. It's hard to get a hold of that. But there's an eighth feature that I love about all men and women in uniform. They wear the badge of honor forever. We are honoring people today from decades ago, generations ago. That badge of honor, that mark of distinctiveness, is a forever badge of honor. It doesn't diminish. It's not taken away by the death of that individual. Generations upon generations find themselves in an attitude of gratitude because of those who have laid down their lives. Now, such is the model of the Lord Jesus out of this passage. It's an amazing thing. Let me show you what the Bible tells us about this great model, the model example. That's why I want to talk to you about Jesus today. In verse 6, the Bible tells us that he volunteered his service to God. Now, folks, this is a deep theological question here. The Bible says here, listen to this, it's very, very important. Being in the very nature of God, that he did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped. He volunteered his service to God. It was God's will that Jesus go to the cross. But Jesus, the Son of the living God, became obedient to the Father, even to his death upon the cross. What does it mean? That literally means that the Lord Jesus Christ refused to hold on to his divine rights and prerogatives as God. He never, ever in his life and ministry denied his equality with God, but he never used his power and authority as God for his own personal advantage. Even when upon the cross, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. That was his prerogative as God. But he volunteered his life. I love to read history books. I do that all the time. Remarkable gentleman. His name was Ted Roosevelt. Interestingly enough, he was a brigadier general. Served in the North African campaign. I've read a lot about Brigadier General Ted Roosevelt. You might have guessed by now he had a famous father who just happened to be President of the United States of America during that time. Now, Ted Roosevelt was an interesting fellow. I'm not going to get into all details about him. But from what I understand, according to the historians, one thing you can say about Brigadier General Ted Roosevelt, that even though his father was President of the United States of America, the Commander-in-Chief, Brigadier General Roosevelt never traded on his rightful position as a son of the Commander-in-Chief. He acted on his own and did what he did according to the merit that he believed he needed to do. Jesus volunteered his service to God. Second, he laid aside his personal privilege. Look right there in verse 7. He made himself nothing. He made himself nothing. He laid aside his personal privilege. Folks, do we have time to talk about the privilege that Jesus had as God's Son? He turned to his disciples many times. He said, "Excuse me, gentlemen. You see me? You've seen the Father, because I and the Father are one." Why is Jesus, what is this example here? He laid aside his personal privilege. He made himself nothing. That means that although he was full of God, he divested himself of five things. He divested himself of his divine glory. He divested himself of his divine authority. He divested himself of his divine attributes. He divested himself of his divine riches. And he divested himself of his divine intimacy with God the Father, because he was the Son who came and laid aside his personal privilege in order people like you and me could have life. What a Savior. Number three, he put on a shared uniform. The Bible says in verse 7, the second part, that he took upon himself the very nature of a servant. He put on a shared uniform. Can you, hold on a minute, folks. Can you imagine that Jesus allowed himself to look like me and you, put on our human uniform? That's what Jesus did. What an example. He became a slave by waiving his rights as God. Number four, he became like all the others. Well, verse 7, the Bible tells us in that latter part, he says, being made in human likeness. That word likeness literally means, folks, in the Greek text, it means to be made like something else. Not just in appearance, but in reality. Jesus didn't become a pretender. When he became like all the others, when he was made in the likeness of man, he took upon himself all the sin and all the sorrow of the world, even though he himself knew no sin. He was tempted in all points, just like you and me, yet without sin.
Please forgive the interruption. Such powerful teaching from Dr. Don. And as he reminds us, Jesus was tempted just like we were, but without sin. There is good news in the fact that you, if you've said yes to Jesus Christ, have Jesus living in you. You don't have to depend on your willpower anymore. Oh, how we'd love to pray you through a tempting situation, a circumstance. Maybe just there's a concern you have. Know that we're here to pray for you at 866-899-WORD. 24 hours a day, 866-899-9673. And perhaps even today, as you're listening to this teaching from Dr. Don Wilton, you realize that you have been trying to conquer this temptation, trying to resist it without God. If you start with letting Jesus into your life first, he will empower you to do things you never dreamed possible. If you'd like to talk to someone about giving your life to Jesus Christ, call us right now, 866-899-WORD. We'll reach with one of us who would love to let you know how you can give your life to Christ and have that empowerment in your life as Christ lives in you. 866-899-9673. Now back to the rest of today's message, The Model Example with Dr. Don Wilton.
He wept. He became weary. He actually even got rather mad, threw everybody out of the synagogue and the temple. came hungry, needed something to eat, a place to put his head down. Became like all others. But number five, he assumed a common identity. He assumed a common identity. Bible says here in verse 8, look at verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man. Just like our military personnel assume a common identity when they sign up for service, so it is that Jesus assumed a common identity. I love the Army, Navy, Air Force, from Marines and Coast Guard. I love it when these men, it's an incredible thing. I thank these members of the armed forces who came here today. I thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for that. That uniform does something. You know, you can look at the different branches of armed forces and the branches of service here in the United States. Each one of them carries an identity, doesn't it? And boy, it's a proud one too. I learned many, many years ago, you know, don't tell a Marine that he's in the Army. And don't tell an Army guy he's in the Marines. And, you know, and so on and so forth. There's a distinctiveness. There's a pride. There's a joy. And so it ought to be. That's what the Bible tells us, that he was recognized as a man because of this common identity, because of this uniform, because he became like all others. But number six, this is very important. Jesus humbled himself. Look at verse 8, the second part. There's a wonderful word there. Paul is trying to tell us something here about our attitude. He says, and he humbled himself. He humbled himself. Can you imagine the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords reducing himself to a birth canal? A squawking baby in a lowly manger? Now, folks, I just want you to think about this. I mean, how low can you go? He humbled himself. He just humbled himself. You see, when Paul gets to this point, he moves from Jesus' form to Jesus' attitude. And the humbling of the Savior in his incarnation is demonstrated by the fact that Jesus was never bitter. He was never defensive. He was never argumentative about what his role was and what he was doing. He was never demanding. He was never accusing of others. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so we get to number seven. He laid down his life. I love going to Israel. I go there almost. My goal is to go every year. Going again in November this year. You need to come with me. Taking a group, got a lot of people going. Leaving Monday, November the 30th. Why do I say this? Because I'm telling you, when you go to Israel, folks, and you stand where Jesus stood, when we come to that place of the skull, when we see the place where Jesus died and was hung upon that cruel Roman tree, excuse me, folks, the picture of Jesus laying down his life is not a pretty picture. It doesn't show a picture of Jesus all clean with his head drooped to the side with a pure, clean, white linen cloth draped around him. He was literally beaten to death. This form of execution was despised by the Jews. And the Jewish tradition believed that anybody who was hanged could never have any semblance of hope of life hereafter. It was the ultimate curse of humanity. And Jesus said, bring it on. Bring it on. Because the sin of the world has condemned men and women to an eternal damnation where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. Bring it on, because I am the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Bring it on. I will take upon myself the sin of the world. And he laid down his life. I think so much of Lieutenant Andrew Kynard, the price that he has had to pay because he was willing to lay down his life. You know, all the times that I'm around Andrew Kynard, I'm always just so proud and so grateful, because I never hear a word of complaint come from him. It just boggles my mind. He never complains to me. I never see him with a... He's always up. He's always got a smile. He's always got a good attitude. He's always positive. He's always... Now he's going to Harvard, and he's a man of such distinction, but he's paid such a price. And here's the Son of God who's willing to lay his life down for people like you and me, be beaten and bruised. And so where does that leave us? It leaves us at the final moment that Jesus wears the badge of honor today. That's what verse 9 through 11 is all about. Jesus wears the badge of honor. Unlike the soldier, folks, as much as we honor men and women in uniform, there are three things not even the greatest hero that has ever lived on this earth can do for you and me. Because the Bible says there are three things that Jesus is the only one he's the only one who can do this. Number one, he's the only one who can forgive you for your sin. Lieutenant Andrew Kynard cannot forgive anybody their sin. I cannot. Not all the military personnel who have ever laid their lives down, for whom we are so deeply proud, not one of them can ever forgive any person's sin. Only Jesus can. Number two, only Jesus can recreate your life. Not a single person in uniform, no matter how gallant, no matter how much they've given up, no matter how proud they make us, not a single person in uniform can ever recreate your life. Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that person becomes a recreated person, brand new. Is there someone today, you need to become brand new? You want to start all over again. You're tired of paddling your own canoe. You've been looking for meaning and purpose. You don't know where to go to next. I want to tell you about Jesus, my friend. Give your heart to Jesus. But there's a third thing. Only Jesus can grant you eternal life. Only Jesus can do that. No person, no matter how brave, no matter how gallant, no preacher, no church, only Jesus. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not die, but should have eternal life. Isn't that great today? Oh, that's great. This model example. Now that's the real secret, my friends. That's the real secret. I'm telling you, it's all about Jesus. And I want to invite you to give your heart to Jesus today.
Won't you please accept that invitation? We believe it's not an accident that you happen to be listening to this broadcast or this podcast right now in this particular time of your life. And perhaps today is a day that you don't need to move forward in the same. You need a change, a course correction, a life adjustment. You've been listening to Dr. Wilton teaching and preaching from Philippians 2. Now, as he steps into the studio, open your heart to what he wants to share next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today,
I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
Welcome to the family of God. I'm convinced some of you just prayed along with Dr. Wilton to give your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe for the first time, maybe rededicating your life. Either way, Dr. Wilton has free resources he wants you to have right now, absolutely free, if you'll call 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or email him. He would love to pray for you, and he'll make sure we get these resources to you if you email Don, that's D-O-N, at TEWonline.org. Again, Dr. Don's first name, Don, just D-O-N, at TEWonline.org. He would love to hear from you, pray for you, and we'll make sure you get those free resources. Speaking of resources, best place to find all of our resources are on our website, TEWonline.org. That's TEWonline.org, where you'll find great resources like this.
Hello, everybody. You know, my friends know me as Don Wilton, pastor, friend, neighbor, dad, husband, grandpa. But I'm going to tell you, people all around the world just like you know and identify Dr. Billy Graham as that man that God used to reach so many people around the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. I had the privilege of knowing Mr. Graham in a very personal and intimate way, both as his friend and as his pastor. In fact, for many years, I drove up to his home in Montreat, North Carolina, and visited with him every Saturday. Just like friends do everywhere, we sat together and ate together, walked, talked. We discussed politics, friends, places, people. We laughed our heads off. We did everything one could possibly imagine. That's why I wrote this wonderful book, Saturdays with Billy. It's all about a personal relationship. And I hope and pray that Saturdays with Billy will be a blessing to you, will inspire you, and will encourage your heart, just as Mr. Graham encouraged my heart and changed my life. God bless you, my friends.
Now, that's just one of many great resources available on our website right now at TEWonline.org. That's TEWonline.org. Today is, as a matter of fact, the very last day for loneliness, how to be alone but not lonely. Of course, we'll get it for you if you miss today, but it's going to move off of our website kind of into the background after today. Tomorrow, an exciting new resource popping up. You'll see that. Again, be sure and follow us on our website, TEWonline.org. While you're there, you can find opportunities to follow Dr. Wilton's Twitter feed and all of our social media. We would love to stay connected beyond this broadcast. Just know that we're here to encourage you. We are the Encouraging Word at TEWonline.org.